Revelation chapter 15 and verse 5, this is the final outpouring of God's wrath upon the wicked. How many know that God is merciful and He's long-suffering? He's very, very patient. He is not willing that anyone should perish. There is a time and there is a season for everything under the sun. We've been allotted so much time on this planet. We've been given a responsibility in this life. We need to follow the Lord. We need to listen to His voice. We need to follow His instructions. God grants, I believe, everyone opportunities to get right with Him. But the Lord will never force His will upon our will, because He gave us freedom to choose. If He would force His will upon our will, then it would not be a relationship. It would be a dictatorship. And what God wanted was a people. He wanted sons and daughters. He actually wants a bride. And so God does not force His will upon us. He allows us to choose Him. So what He does is God lavishes His grace and His love upon mankind. I believe when the Bible says that He poured out and is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, it's very literal. He's pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. God's not a respecter of persons. There are those who will receive and those who will reject. Those who will refuse the love of the truth that they might be saved. So we have been given a certain window of opportunity, a certain time. God knows the number of our days. And we don't. And so while we have opportunity, we need to respond. We need to cooperate with the Spirit of God and place ourselves under His authority and understand that the Father loves you. He loves people. He loves His creation. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But because sin has consequences, judgment must come upon sin. Now God in His mercy sent Jesus, amen, to pay the price for the sins of the world. And sin was judged, amen, on Jesus on the cross. And so whosoever who will receive Christ, amen, would not perish. But those who refuse the love of the truth, it's not enough to confess that Jesus is my Lord, because no one can confess Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. It doesn't say mind or intellect, but every spirit. The only way we can truly declare or confess Jesus Christ in truth is by our spirit, because His Spirit has come to dwell within our spirit. We have been made holy because of an integration of God's holiness with us. And last Sunday we talked about being mighty in spirit, how it is so important for us to build up our spirit man so that we don't control our spirit with our intellect, but that our intellect will come under authority to the spirit. Amen?
Yes.
Mingled with the spirit of man.
Yes.
So when you're born of the spirit, you receive, amen? You receive His life. You receive His grace, His provision. Everything we need is freely given to us in Christ. But if we don't take advantage of what God has made freely available to us, then what will happen is the natural part of us, the natural man, will become dominant in the life. And so there are consequences for refusing to listen or obey God. How many will say amen to that? And so God is not willing that anyone should perish, but God is reaching out and has poured out and has demonstrated His love for us in the cross. How much He loves us. Take a look at what Jesus did. That's how much He loves us. But He will never force you or I to choose. Now He knows how to arrange things in our lives to get us into a position of desperation. and hopes that we might call upon him. And as we're reading through Revelation, you're seeing these judgments become more severe. And there are those who repent and those who do not. And even tonight we're going to be talking about these seven last bowls of God's judgment. And I don't want to go into all of them tonight, but I want to touch on this tonight and how they're the most severe of all the judgments that come upon the earth. And even in that, there are those who still refuse to repent. So the temple is opened in heaven here in John, in Revelation chapter 15, verse 5. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls. That word creatures is cherubim. It's a particular angelic being. And gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. In chapter 16, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. And a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man. And every living creature in the sea died. And then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, the angel of the waters, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. You see, whatever God does is just. Amen? And you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. You know, it amazes me that sometimes in even the trivial things of life, how we can get angry at God and we can accuse God. Sometimes over petty things, you know. And yet, do we realize that in all these things that God is merciful, that God is loving on us, that God knows that the end of the thing can be better than it is now. Amen? Because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, and he sees the whole picture. And when God created us, he created us with purpose. And his purpose is to exalt you, that we might be with him in eternity forever. When we were lost in trespasses and sins, when we were separated from God, when we were without hope, God reached down and he lifted us up. He exalted us, folks. He exalted mankind. And he placed him with us. He seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What God wants to do is reveal to us his identity. Amen? Because when we see his identity, we are seeing, in a sense, a reflection. As we were made originally in the image of him. That when we look into the face of Jesus Christ, we are actually looking at someone whom we're supposed to look like. We are to be transformed into his glorious image. As we look into the face of Jesus. Right. As we seek his face, as we draw near to God, we are transformed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. So God is merciful. God is long-suffering. But there are consequences for sin. And aren't you glad that there's a thing called grace, that we don't always get what we deserve? Because of the blood of Jesus, we can be forgiven. Amen? And God will even forget things that we've done.
Yes.
But for those who refuse the mercy of God, the grace, the love of God, then they will face God's judgments. Then His judgments are righteous. They are fair. Even the voice that spoke said that it was their just due, because they had slain the blood of the saints and the prophets. These were those who persecuted God's people on the earth. God gave many opportunities. God gives all people, I believe, opportunities and many opportunities to come to Him. Sometimes it's presented in the gospel message. Other times it's presented in nature. God has revealed Himself even through that which was made to mankind. God is a fair God. God is just in all of His ways. And because the blood of Christ is on the mercy seat in heaven, there is an opportunity, amen, for people to be saved. But God is the judge, and He can decide yes or no, amen? It's not for us to decide. Because the sin problem has already been dealt with. Hallelujah, aren't you glad?
Yes.
And so this is a time here in chapter 15 where God's mercy has passed, folks. This is the point where it is passed now. There's no more time for repentance. There's no more time for intercession. There's no more time to prepare. There is an appointed day when the Lord will seal the door. And there will be those who will attempt to enter in that will not be able to. And He said some will knock and they'll say, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." We have to respond in the day of His visitation. Even Jesus said, "No one can come to Me unless the Father draws them." And if you hear the voice of God today, do not harden your hearts, but respond to that voice. Amen. That's calling you into grace and fellowship. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that we would turn to Him. True repentance is turning away from ourselves and turning to Christ. Amen? It's not just saying, "I'm sorry." It's turning away from those things. Amen? In Matthew 24 and verse 37, Jesus says, "As the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Well, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, the Lord said to Noah, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever." What does that tell us? It tells us that God does have a certain limit on His mercy, on His grace, folks. How many know that God was very merciful, very patient during the days of Noah? As He went about and He preached righteousness and was calling people to repentance. And in that day, the people were so hardened that they refused to come aboard the ark that they might be saved. And we know that ark symbolizes what? Jesus Christ, who was our ark of safety. And so as it was in those days, men were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and they were just life as usual. They were carrying on completely independent of a relationship with the Creator. And when they had opportunity, they would not respond. We were given a chance to come on board. You see, there are those who will say, "Well, one of these days." I believe hell is populated with people that said, "One of these days." In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us." He's very patient. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many know that we need to also be patient with others? We need to be long-suffering. In James chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain." How many know that God is pouring out His Spirit? Amen? And God is waiting very patiently for the harvest of souls. There's going to be a gathering together throughout all the generations that have been upon the earth, even those prior to the cross. There's going to be a gathering together. There's going to be a celebration. Amen? There's going to be a great wedding supper. Wedding supper of the Lamb. We're going to be reunited with our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, who has gone away to prepare a place for His bride, His people. And He said, "If I go away, I will come back." And He's going to receive us to Himself. And so because we are His bride, and when we raise up the cup of communion, we're saying, "Lord, I am committed to You. I am a spouse to You. I will have no other gods before You. I am in covenant with You. What You have is mine. What I have is Yours." Amen? I will not cheat on You. I will not indulge the sin nature, but I will follow after You. I will anticipate the day when You return. And You find me as a chaste virgin. You find me as a pure virgin, a pure bride that has prepared herself, that has washed her garments in the blood of the Lamb. Amen?
Yes.
So then when Christ returns, He's coming for a church without spot or what?
Blemish
or wrinkle. Depends on what version you use. Our holiness... Wrinkles. Aren't you glad there's not going to be any wrinkles? But our holiness is because of Christ, right? It's our walk. It's our relationship. There will be those who said, will say, "Lord, Lord," but He's going to say, "I didn't know You." Because they didn't know Him. They didn't walk with God. You see, you can be in association with God's people and totally miss it. There are people that, if you will, they just hang on to the coattails of someone else and they ride that. There will be those who did not take oil in their own vessels. You see, they didn't have a walk. They didn't know how to go to the source themselves. So they tried to live off everybody else's oil. What God is trying to do is call you and I and all of us and all mankind to fellowship, to relationship with Him, to come in and enjoy the pleasures of God. The ecstasy of God. In His presence there is such joy that He's actually enjoyable. He's a pleasure to be with. And it's His goodness with tender mercies He's drawn us. And so He said, "Be patient, brethren." And just like the farmer's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, He says in verse 8, "You also be patient. Establish your hearts." And that word "establish" means to set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction. We are fixing our eyes on the prize. We got our eyes fastened on Jesus. We are resolutely, amen, focusing on Jesus. We're not looking to the left or the right. We are going after Him with a passion. Hallelujah. We are in a race and we don't have time to sit on the sidelines, amen, and eat popcorn. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. So set your hearts fast. Turn resolutely in a certain direction towards the Lord, for His coming is at hand. And then verse 9, it says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." How many know that Jesus is standing at the door? His coming is nigh. We look around today, we see what is happening in our world. Things are happening quickly. Things are happening in greater severity as the time approaches of the coming of the Lord. We need to lift up our eyes, lift up our heads, because our redemption is drawing nigh. And we're nearer to that time than when we first began. And so we don't want to be a part of what's going to happen here. Amen? And so the Lord here is throwing out the lifeline. And He's given people, even at this point in history, an opportunity. You know what? I've discovered something about the Lord. He's much more patient than I am. Yeah. He's even much more merciful than I am. Amen? He's much more gracious than we are. And that's why we want to be integrated in Him. That's why we want to be filled with His presence. Amen? So that we can have His mind, His heart. So we can also demonstrate that same love, that same grace, that same mercy towards others. Because in our humanity, we're often short. In our humanity, we make intellectual decisions about people based upon things that appear. In our humanity, we make decisions based upon the way things appear. Has anybody ever been fooled by the way things appear? Yes. And so when we operate from the intellect, we can very easily make misjudgments about things. But when we are built up in Christ and we are full of the Holy Spirit, and the mind now is under submission to the Spirit of man, in submission to the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, now we're able to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. And it comes through maturity. Just like we were talking Sunday, a child needs to learn how to discern. And hopefully if they've been nurtured in a good environment, they'll grow up to be mighty in spirit and they'll be able to discern. They'll be able to look below the surface of things and see that, well, there's a smile there, there are kind words there, but something in my spirit man is saying, it's not right. It's not genuine. But by all appearances, it appears to be right. And so when you get that, then you need to pray and say, God, reveal to me the truth of the matter. I don't want to be deceived, and I don't want to be presumptuous, but I do want to know what the truth is, and I do want to know if I can trust this person or not. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. And then you can use your reason, which is under submission to the Spirit, to begin to gather together the facts, amen, and to place things and to think through things with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because now your intellect isn't ruling you. So you're making carnal, natural decisions based upon the way things appear that often we are deceived by. And we're able to discern from the heart, from the spirit, below the surface what's really going on. Whether this guy really likes me or hates me. Whether it's a man coming on to a young woman who has an ulterior motive, who has raw, impure motivations. And on the surface, he's so nice and he's talking about all these wonderful things and he's speaking all these sweet nothings to her. If she does not have discernment, then she's just going to bite off onto that and say, oh, wow, but he loves me so much. Look, listen to all the nice things he told me. Or the devil with a blue dress on. Where so many men have also fallen in the same trap. It works both ways. Even godly men, right? Maybe going through a time with your spouse. And I'm just going to speak this because this is what the Lord just dropped into my spirit. But if you're having difficulties with your spouse, the enemy will also dispatch one of his agents. He'll be handsome. She'll be beautiful. He'll be really charming and nice. And she will be so sweet. And the enemy will say, you know what? You don't have to deal with that anymore. You could have that. It's getting quiet in here. When we grow up, right? And we begin to discern, we say, yes, she sure seems sweet. She sure is pretty, but it ain't worth, amen, the corruption of my soul and the destruction of my family. Hello. And as a minister, you know, I was taught early on by my pastor. He says, you don't ever put yourself alone with a woman in a room. Amen?
Amen.
Especially a young, attractive woman. Amen? So I always, when I counsel, I'm talking about counseling, what happens? I take Heisuk in there. Yeah, or I make sure that there's somebody else in there. There always needs to be a witness. Because sometimes, even if, you know, you didn't have any idea or any intention of doing anything wrong, you don't want to put yourself in a vulnerable situation. And even if you didn't, many times, even when nothing happened, things were, you know, someone would be accused of doing something.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have any coverage. This is just discernment. So, what does this have to do with our message tonight? This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Okay? We know that God has appointed a day in which He's going to judge the world by that man whom He has ordained. And that's Jesus Christ, amen, our Lord. And He's given assurance of this because He's raised Him from the dead. And so, because we are God's people, we have to be very careful that whatever we do, amen, is in the light, that we build ourselves, keep ourselves strong, so that we are discerning, so that we can pick out, we can read below the surface of things that we're confronted with. Because many good men and women have fallen in so many different ways. And if there's ever a time when we need to be vigilant, it's today. Our nation, even the world, has been this seductress thing has been unleashed upon our nation. You know, this seducing spirits have just permeated everything. You can't go through the grocery line without seeing, you know, flesh and nakedness and sexual content and saturation and everything in the media. And it's deliberate because the enemy knows that this is one way that he can bring great people down to destruction. So we need to be discerning. God is just. God is fair. And this is the good news, is all Jesus is asking from us is to walk with Him. If we walk with Him every day, then there will be this awareness, call it the fear of the Lord, in our lives that will protect us. That even though temptation sometimes is strong, if we walk closely with God and we build our spirit and we begin to operate from the discerner, amen, and the mind comes under that control, then you're not going to be easily swayed into sin, amen. And if you make a mistake, praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. We have someone we can run to. I don't know about you, but in little ways, every day, I'm saying, God, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have said that. Hallelujah. Let's finish tonight with 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Who's he talking to? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, that's us, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace. Do we have peace with our Lord today? Don't leave here without having peace. Without spot and blameless. Only God is able to do that, folks. We must cooperate. We must listen. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit convinces and convicts of sin? And He only does that because He wants to set you free. He doesn't convict to condemn. The devil, he condemns. He speaks with condemnation. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin so that we may come to Jesus for mercy and healing and restoration. So we don't want to refuse Him who's speaking from heaven. Because we are now listening to the message of God spoken to us by the Holy Spirit through human vessels from the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. So we need to listen to the voice of the Lord and do not refuse Him. And consider verse 15, that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Amen. Father God, we just thank You for Your word today. Lord, we thank You that You have provided an escape, that You have not appointed Your people to suffer wrath, Lord, but to obtain salvation through You. Today, Father, we thank You that You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God, we thank You today that You have given us everything we need in Christ to overcome. And we have the overcomer in us. Teach us Your ways, Lord. Strengthen each one of us with might and inner man, Lord. Build us up, lift us up with You, Lord. Give us the mind of Christ. Reveal to us Your heart and Your mind, Lord, that we may see through the eyes of the heart, the spirit, in sync with You, and not judge from the appearance of our intellect, but God from our heart. And that our minds would be under submission, Lord, to Your rule, and that is the law of Your spirit. So, Father, we pray Your kingdom come and Your will be done in every life. And as it is in heaven, Father, we're asking that it will be on the earth. We are looking forward to the day, Lord, when You shall come and You will restore all things. Lord, I pray that You would watch over us, protect us, deliver us from evil. For it is Your kingdom and the power and the glory. It belongs to You. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.